Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio and Medicine on Call. There's one doctor missing in this party right at the moment, and that's Dr. Elena George. This is her show, Medicine on Call. And she's in traffic, headed to the studio as fast as she can. I keep trying to convince her that she should get a helicopter and cut out this traffic thing and just land on the parking lot every Wednesday. But in the interim, while we're waiting on Dr. George to get here, I wanted to introduce our guest. We have a very important guest and a very special guest, Dr. Keith Smith. And Dr. Smith is the founder of Surgery Center of Oklahoma. We've talked to him on the Doctor's Lounge. He's been on that, and I believe we've talked to him one other time on another show. But anyway, we welcome Dr. Smith back to America's Web Radio and today on Medicine on Call. Dr. Smith, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and I think you've got such a terrific story, and what you're doing, I think, is revolutionizing. It's the answer to Obamacare. It's the answer to futuristic medicine, as far as I'm concerned. And, it takes people like yourself coming out of the box and saying there is an answer, not just everybody throwing up their hands and saying, well, we'll see what the government gives to us next, that we have to, what we have to do under that. But let's talk about you for just a second. I know you're an anesthesiologist, and as I understand it from some gas passer friends of mine, you all are the director of the operating room. So how did you decide on the specialty? Where'd you go to school? And then how did you come up with the idea of Surgery Center of Oklahoma?
Well, I've always loved the atmosphere in the operating room, and I toyed with being a surgeon for a while, but I realized just how much I enjoyed the atmosphere of the operating room. And as an anesthesiologist, I get to be there all the time. So that sort of was what got me thinking about anesthesia. I loved physiology and pharmacology in medical school, and that's a big part of what we do. And then when I went out into private practice, the first 2 years were in 1990 91 92, things were, it was fun, it was practicing medicine was enjoyable, and then the federal government got involved and got very heavy-handed started with the folks really at Harvard that decided they were so smart they knew how much physicians should be paid for every single thing they could do. And that was referred to as the resource-based relative value scale. And I refer to that as the Rosemary's Baby of Harvard University. it was the perfect fatal conceit in medicine, where a group of academics basically decided they could figure out how to impose top-down central planning type of pricing on healthcare. And it's been a disaster, and it caused a whole series of domino effect sort of results after they did that, every single one of which caused medical practice to be more difficult. It just became so awful that it began to resemble, my practice began to resemble nothing like it looked when I started. And Dr. Stephen Lonti and I just decided we didn't sign up for this. We want to do something about it instead of just be victimized by our circumstances. So we opened the Surgery Center of Oklahoma in 1997, and we did it with the idea that we would be fair and honest with our pricing, and that we would never accept any money from the federal government. We began to understand very early on that prices could, logical and rational prices, could never be imposed. They emerge from competitive activity in every other industry, and that really was what we thought should happen. But there wasn't much competition in medicine. It was a very uncompetitive world where hospitals and everybody else hid behind their licenses rather than compete in an open and free market. So those are the ideas that have guided us to a point where we decided that we would put our prices online. We did this 7 years ago because the hospitals and insurance companies had ganged up on us. We were very successful, and we had a great quality brand. We were just doing very well. And so the, as a threat, we were ganged up on, and the insurance carriers were successful in arranging deductible stacking on the patients that were trying to come see us. You know, they would not let us in any of the insurance networks. But when they started stacking in and out of network deductibles on patients, it financially made it impossible for them to come see us. So you know, we thought, wait, you know, our prices are great. Our quality is the best in this region. We ought to have a full waiting room. We ought to have a line out the door. But it was not the case. I mean, we were getting, we were watching the number of cases that we did here at the surgery center dwindle. So we put our prices online. We thought, you know, we're going to let everybody know what a value this is. And maybe we can start a price war and have some real competition. And also maybe we can uncover, you know, what is the scam? How does healthcare work in the United States? What is wrong? Because everybody knows there's something wrong. And right. Just by the simple move of putting prices online, we've uncovered, I think, what only some of the industry insiders have been aware of and that no one really wants to talk about, and why healthcare is so expensive. And in the United States, it's just terribly expensive. And also why the quality is so sporadic. And all of the issues can be explained from the absence of the free market. Whenever you have the free market operating in medicine, like in LASIK surgery or plastic surgery, you tend to see falling prices, and you tend to see the quality improve. And that's how the market works in every other industry. In healthcare, that's not the case. Prices tend to spiral out of control, and the quality is sporadic. And so what we're seeing in the United States, contrary to what a lot of people think, is not a failure of the free market. It's an absence of the free market. And we've been able to convince enough people in the United States that price transparency and price honesty is a good idea, that we've been followed by many, many physicians and facilities all over the country. And so this has actually become a movement. It's not just a thing happening right here at our facility in Oklahoma City. There are people all over the country that, frankly, have just copied our website. Now, there's a hospital in Pennsylvania, St. Luke's. You look at their website. They now have prices online, and they've copied my website. And UCLA has copied our website. So even some of the big hospital systems are beginning to feel the pressure of this market approach to healthcare delivery. So that's kind of our story in a nutshell. It's been very exciting. We are very busy now at the surgery center, and we're dealing with patients directly. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with patients whose employers have recognized the scam the health insurance is in the United States. And so the employers who are self-insured just pay us directly out of their operating revenue instead of buying insurance. And we have a wonderful situation here. It's everything that we dreamed or hoped it would be.
Dr. Smith, it's Dr. George. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I truly appreciate it.
How are you?
I'm great. And that was an amazing encapsulation of what this show is going to be about today. I want to tease out a few things, actually, because you gave a great overview. But I'm sure my listeners and doctors listening want to know more fine detail of what you just said. One of the things, the questions that I have personally is, when you list, and I've gotten this question from other doctors as well, if you list your prices online and you still take insurance, is there any problem with that? Is there any way that they can come after you for, going against your contract or anything like that? Should you be afraid of that if you do it in a private practice setting?
Well, part of what Dr. Lantier and I hated about our practice was we had to concern ourselves with issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
That in an effort to do the right thing, in an effort to be honest and forthright, we might run into an insurance carrier, for instance, that would prevent us from being honest and forthright.
Mm-hmm.
And so our solution was just not to deal with the insurance carriers at all.
Okay.
Because the dilemma that you've just presented is it's something that physicians who just want to put their toe in the water and try this while they still deal with insurance, they kind of run into that.
Okay.
So we've canceled every managed care contract that we have here at the surgery center except for one. And I hope to cancel that one in the fall. So if you're able to walk away from the insurance carriers, that's easy. But frankly, at this point, if an insurance company told me, you know, they had a really hard time with the prices that I had online, I would just laugh. But that's basically what it comes down to. That, you know, physicians are in a position where they're going to have to choose. You know, am I going to just flip the switch and go to a cash only practice? In our position, because we put our prices online in a bundled fashion, mm-hmm. the insurance carriers really don't have any idea what the anesthesiologist or the surgeon or the facility is receiving as the individual component.
Mm-hmm.
So they really, you know, if people want to post bundled prices, the insurance carriers really don't have any idea what each one of those components represents. So they'd have a hard time making their case that, you know, you're actually giving people a better deal than you're giving our insurance company. Our solution to dilemmas like the one you just presented is just to tell the insurance carriers to take hike, because they're not interested in delivery of high value to the buyer. That's not how they make most of their money.
I agree. It's collecting a premium and denying care and denying payment. That's how they make their money.
it's actually more complicated than that. You're right. And I want to make this point because it's very important for people to understand that the insurance companies actually want the most gigantic charge that they can encounter. So if an insurance company has a choice between a facility that's going to bill $20,000 versus a facility that's going to bill $100,000, they want the $100,000 charge. And the reason is because they sell the discounts that they claim that they can achieve, even though they've been prearranged. So a $100,000 bill discounted by 50% down to $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't know is that the insurance company charges typically the employer group to the extent that they can achieve those discounts. So the big insurance carrier rides into the employer and says, you know, we just saved you $50,000 by discounting this giant bill.
Wow.
And so now we're going to, you know, pay us our 25% commission on that achieved savings.
Oh, I had
no
idea.
So when you think through that, you realize they really wish that was a $200,000 bill. And that's why when we put our prices online, prices, by the way, which are less than what Medicaid pays these big hospitals here in Oklahoma City, when we put our prices online, the people who didn't show up to gobble up what we were offering was, I thought, very revealing, and it was the insurance carriers. But that's because by putting prices out front, they're afforded no opportunity to sell these discounts and rake all that money in.
Wow, that was a mouthful. I just learned a ton. And on that note, and so we can digest this, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're talking today with Dr. Keith Smith, who is owner and founder of the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, one of the first and the driving force for really cracking the stranglehold of the insurance companies, the hospitals, everything that's making healthcare so much more expensive. You know, I went up to Washington, to Capitol Hill last week, a week ago or so, and talked to the legislators there. I mean, they really have no clue about what the cost of healthcare is. And you just put it into stark reality. It's not the doctors. It's the system itself, the insurance companies, the hospitals. I think they've done a masterful job of demonizing us while hiding behind that's doctor's fault. How do we get people? I mean, you're doing it in your community, and you can ask a question for me. Have you caused the pressure in your community where your hospitals have dropped their prices in order to compete with you?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of patients that are printing out our price list and holding it up in front of the hospital administrator, not just here in Oklahoma City, but all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, you need to match this or I'm headed over to the Surgery Center of Oklahoma. So that's a very deflationary activity.
Mm-hmm.
That is real competition. And a lot of the hospitals are afraid that if something like that happens, it's going to gain steam, and then they got a real problem. So, you know, it's like Gandhi said, you know, first, they ignore us, then they laugh at us, then they fight us, then we win. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happened. We were completely ignored and then discounted as some freak, you know, organization. And then they started to fight back and, you know, really get tough. And now the biggest hospital system in Oklahoma now has prices online.
They
don't mean anything because there's too many asterisks by them.
Okay, I was going to ask that.
But that they are even trying to wear the badge of price honesty is an indication of the pressure. I would also caution everyone to think that the legislators in Washington are not aware. They are aware. And to allow them to wear the cloak of ignorance, I think is not okay. Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. is the biggest problem. I mean, we can talk about all these cronies that are, you know, that are causing all these issues in the system and all these people that are making all this money, none of whom are delivering health care.
I know.
But the only reason they can do that is that Washington, D.C. has auctioned off all of our liberty and continues to. And so what's going on in health care, the sickest part of health care, is the result of favors that the folks in Washington on both sides of the aisle have sold to corporate health care. And it's really left the patients disenfranchised by and large.
I think you're absolutely right. One of the things that I learned while I was up there is that as a physician, if you mention the fact that you are handicapped, that you can't do your job because you can't stay open as a private physician, they said, don't approach it like that, because if you do, you will get the door shut in your face. They don't care. It's actually open season on doctors. They don't like us.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
Yeah, they don't care.
No.
And I agree with Jeff Geist at the Mises Institute. Anybody that's not familiar with that institute or Jeff ought to be. But the days of the movement, of the large movement, are really numbered. I think that looking to Washington to not only be the source but even be part of a solution is probably a mistake. All the good things that happen tend to be ground up sort of activities. And this is a really good example. You know, in the presence of the Unaffordable Care Act, an attempt by the government to completely take over healthcare, in the presence of that as a kind of overarching theme, emerging is this wild and exciting and vibrant consumer market.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the top-down kind of central planning from D.C. It is a groundswell of individuals that are motivated by, you know, the right things and about and being moved by their desire for mutually beneficial exchange, the golden rule, in short. And it really doesn't have anything to do with Washington. And the people there, they're not interested. They don't care about any physician's dilemma.
No.
They don't care about how what they do makes our lives more difficult. And I don't look to them at all, except to discount everything they say. People have asked me before, do you worry about the federal government putting you out of business?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I worry about them coming here trying to help me because they screw everything up. So if they just stand aside and get out of the way and let the market work its magic, then I believe we'll see prices fall and quality soar. And that's exactly what the result of what we've done here has been.
I think you've just, again, hit the nail on the head. One of the things I've noticed in the rhetoric of healthcare over the past 6 years, 7 years, whatever, is that healthcare is now trying to make it a right. Like, you have the right to my services. You have the right to my brain power. You don't have the right to that. You don't get to legislate that I have to be a slave for you. And unfortunately, our group as physicians seem to be falling into line. Either the good ones have left or retired. Other good ones are doing what you're doing, where we're opting away from the system and taking our power back. But unfortunately, the majority of us are falling in line and becoming hospital employees. How do we educate our brethren about there's life outside of the hospital, there's life outside of the insurance companies? How are you doing? I mean, I know people, doctors come to your website, but do you have any kind of outreach to try to educate the people who are ignorant?
Yes, there is an organization that is formed. It's the Free Market Medical Association. And it is people in the entire industry. Some of them are insurance executives, some are ERISA lawyers, some are third-party administrators, employers, people who sell healthcare services, physicians, hospitals, and then there are buyers of healthcare. And there's this really incredible conversation that's going on in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. There's this incredible conversation that's going on in the industry with the free market as really the backdrop. That is what's going on the facility and the industry side.
Mm-hmm.
For physicians who are looking for a life raft, they need to look no further than the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. So for the physician who's dealing with the dilemma of, you know, how do I become a hospital employee and still remain an uncompromised advocate of my patient. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is, I think, they're the standard bearer for the ethical practice of medicine. It's certainly not the AMA. I don't even know anyone that belongs to the AMA.
Me either.
So there are places for physicians and others to go. The Free Market Medical Association is a rapidly growing organization that is dealing primarily with the economics and delivery of healthcare in the industry. And that's a fascinating and rapidly growing organization that's worth checking out.
I certainly will do so myself. Now, in terms of, we talked about the doctor side. How do we get the patients? I know AAPSonline.org, which you just mentioned for American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, but there needs to probably be some sort of national outreach. I mean, it's the best kept secret in medicine. Everybody thinks if I don't have an insurance, they've been, I guess, mind controlled to think if you don't have an insurance card, you're going to die. That's been the overwhelming, overarching theme over the past 7 years. And people really bought into that. They now know they can't afford it and they know they don't like it. But how do we get them on the ball? Is there some sort of national campaign or something that each individual independent doctor like myself can do to get the word out, aside from talking to my patients, which I always do, but something bigger?
Well, and again, we have the federal government to thank for unintended consequences. So when the Unaffordable Care Act granted this favor to giant corporate healthcare, the insurance companies in particular, of these gigantic deductibles, they paradoxically created a consumer market because patients then were buying a large amount of the healthcare that they required out of their own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And since they now had sticker shock, they were actually shopping. And people are shopping all over the country asking now, how much is this going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is coming out of their pocket. This is not what the central planners in Washington had in mind with this latest attempt to completely take over healthcare. So the patients are actually asking and they're curious. And if they don't act curious, if you broach the topic at all, they'll let you know that they've actually done some homework. So it's the rare patient that I encounter that doesn't have some element of this sticker shock. And it's the demand of the consumer that ultimately will drive and create this new market. And I think it's vibrant and alive. And it's probably more vibrant and alive than most physicians know,
mm-hmm.
or are even ready for, because it's a very different conversation than we're accustomed to having with patients, talking about money and what is this going to cost.
Right. Oh, it absolutely is. But when they realize that it's cheaper to do a procedure in your office, to take you to an independent surgery center instead of to the huge hospital in your community, they get it pretty quickly. Now,
right. No, they do.
I mean, I looked at your prices online, in preparation for the show, and I was astounded how reasonable they were. And we're talking from the time you walk in to the time you're discharged. And I think in some instances, do you include any medications as well, or durable medical equipment? Some of the procedures do, don't they?
Yes, we just posted our prices for a knee replacement, and that includes not only the durable medical equipment and the medications the patients take home after they are discharged, but also includes 1 month of outpatient physical therapy afterwards. So
right.
we have bundles like that included in some of our pricing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a good exercise for me, and I didn't really have any guide. When I put these prices online, we basically asked the surgeons, what do you think is fair
mm-hmm.
for this work that you're doing? And as an anesthesiologist, I basically bill for my time.
Mm-hmm.
And in surgery, these are basically rooms that are rented for at a very high price for a unit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually know what those costs are. So that's not even algebra. It's just simple math. And when you put it together, somehow you don't end up charging what these so-called not-for-profit hospitals do, where their prices are typically 6 to 10 times what I charge for the same thing. I don't know how they get there, except they employ what can I get away with sort
exactly.
of pricing methodology rather than how do I deliver the most extreme value to the buyer.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I've been in the ORs of these hospitals and asked them what the cost of an ointment was, that you had to put in on a wound after you finished the case. They couldn't tell me the price in some instances, and they would just throw it out after. I mean, it was just waste. They didn't know what the cost was. You're right, whatever they could get away with. And when they bill the patient, because I saw one of these bills finally, it was like $60 for a box of Kleenex. It was just crazy amounts of money. And my bill was like a tenth of what the person got charged. And they thought that I got the money. I'd explain to them, no, that went to the hospital. I got this. And they were like, you're kidding. And people are shocked when they see how much the actual surgeon fee is compared to what their cost is. That's the thing that we need to educate people on. You don't have to be gouged. And you can get an institute-tier system. And we'll talk about that on the break. I don't know if you saw this article yesterday that came out, that there's now a hospital for elite patients that's come out. Let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. We're talking with Dr. Keith Smith of the Surgery Center of Oklahoma. And Keith, yesterday I read an article from Forbes about elite hospitals cultivating elite patients. And there's this CEO of something called the World Clinic, one of the foremost concierge healthcare firms. And their model is the antithesis of what we're talking about today. They're talking about, you know, cultivating healthcare for the super rich, where they get longevity planning and all sorts of stuff. What you do is for everybody. This is not about how much money you have. It's not about picking winners and losers. It's about practicing medicine using the Hippocratic Oath, which is not dead, even though some people want to say that it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, their focus, it sounds to me like, is primarily revenue-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And our focus is value-driven, which tends to drive prices down. If you're just focused on making money, then, I mean, that may be ultimately what happens. But we're not focused on making money. We're just trying to provide health care and hoping that the free market will work its magic and make health care better and more affordable for everybody, so powerful that people begin to reevaluate what the role of insurance is, mm-hmm. In healthcare at all. I used to think there was no relationship between what people paid and in healthcare and what they received. You know, you get what you pay for,
mm-hmm.
but it actually is not. That's not true. There's an inverse relationship between price and quality, because high prices typically mean that a system, a health system or region, is acting very much like a cartel, and that there are not new upstart underdog type of competitors. Lower prices typically mean there is some competition, and somebody is in there mixing it up, trying to distinguish themselves in the marketplace and appeal to the consumer and the patient and the buyer. So that when people see these giant hospital bills and these huge prices, they need to understand that is not an indication of quality. if anything, it indicates that that hospital is so competent in the marketplace that they can get away with that mm-hmm. without really having to pay any attention to quality. And that's a reason I think a lot of these big hospital systems buy primary care doctor practices, because then they're guaranteed a flow of referrals, whether they're any good or not. And that I think, is a trend all over the country.
It definitely is. Not only buying primary care practices, but making the frontline care extenders, such as physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and a cohort of hospitalists who take care of, you know, 50, 60 patients a night that they don't even really know. I'm afraid to go into a hospital at this point. And I've taken call and been consulted. They don't know the patient. They don't know why they're consulting you. It's just on their to-do list. It's not safe being a patient in the hospital at this point, because it's really a volume. Get them in, get them out. Make sure the case manager is able to have the doctor document and put in the right, you know, admission designation for the hospital to get paid. And it's now the accountable care organizations are coming online, and they're now tentacles leaving the hospital to private doctor's offices, where they're an extension of the hospital. So they're managing sicker people as outpatients because it doesn't pay them anymore to admit them. They don't want you to come back as a readmit because you won't get paid under the Affordable Care Act. It's really a system that's broken. And they are doubling down on the worst aspects of healthcare. And they're trying their damnedest, I think, to tie us in. I don't know if you saw the article about Hawaii. Their legislative branch trying to bring a bill into Hawaii that if you're a practicing physician in Hawaii, you won't be able to get your license renewed unless you take Medicare. I mean, this to me is their last step towards making us indentured servants in this system. If they take our license, then they rule us.
Well, once again, I mean, it's the federal government that is the source of all of the problems, not just in healthcare, but just anywhere you want to look. In the sometimes states like Hawaii will dovetail. They're not satisfied that enough tyranny is raining down from Washington, D.C. They mm-hmm. have to pile on to people. So that I want to be clear about something, that we need hospitals. We really do. We just don't need them to bankrupt us. So when you see hospitals whine and cry about, you know, we're not making enough money, but then you see their ads at sports venues, you see them building on, buying mm-hmm. physician practices, buying television ads during the Super Bowl. When you see that, those things just don't add up.
No.
And we need hospitals. We just don't need the price gouging that goes along with them. But they've been enabled to price gouge everyone by the folks in Washington, D.C. So I'm really not interested in any solutions the folks in D.C. have other than for them to take themselves out of the game.
I would agree. Now, I want to switch gears just for a second and talk to the patients and about the patients who have the high deductibles. Now, I know they're coming to your facility. They're getting an awesome deal. But what do they do? Do they submit the bill afterwards to their insurance company and try to get reimbursed some of their monies back after their deductible? What's the logistics for them in real time?
That's exactly how it works. We will give them an invoice. It's one page. It shows that they paid $5,865 for their gallbladder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can go play with the insurance company and see whether that's applied to the deductible, whether they can get any of that back.
Mm-hmm.
We have just decided that, you know, if you're dealing with someone who's abusive, you tend to not deal with them anymore if you can. I mean, we all need healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance companies, almost without exception, are abusive. They, once again, because they can get away with it and they've been enabled. So for the companies that we found, the insurance companies that are abusive, we will give the patient the paperwork with an invoice and then see what they can do. The insurance companies tend to be much more responsive to the individual patients
yes.
than they are
yeah.
to the physicians or the facility. So I think people have had pretty good results as individuals. But it also points out to the patients and lets them know that, you know, this insurance card in some ways that they hold in their wallet is a liability. It's, and that this coverage that they, that, you know, everybody's all worried about, you know, we have all these people that don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea that coverage is the same thing as actually getting care, I think, can be dispensed with if you think about the fact that the first patients who arrived at Surgery Center of Oklahoma after we put our prices online were Canadians. So these are people who have coverage, but they just didn't have very good access to care.
Mm-hmm.
So they would pay our cash price and come down here and have a, you know, a hysterectomy rather than have transfusions for just terrible uterine bleeding in a 3-year wait to see a gynecologist.
That's unbelievable.
So, you know, coverage and care are not the same thing. And I think patients that have to go through the motions with their insurance company to try to get some of what they paid applied to their deductible get a pretty good feeling for what physicians have now endured for a long time.
I bet they come and tell you, I understand what you guys were going through.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. That's good. That's helpful for people to know that. I just wanted to, I know we got to take a break in a minute, but when you said stacked deductibles, when you said that was one of the strategy, if you have a $2,000 in-network deductible and a $5,000 out-network deductible, then they'd make them pay $8,000 before the insurance covered the first dollar. Am I correct with that?
Yeah. So if someone had met their in-network deductible of $2,000.
Yeah.
And they decided to go out of network to my facility, they didn't start at 2001. They started at zero.
Oh, okay.
So that was a pretty effective tool, locking our doors to those patients. It was financially not feasible for them to come see us.
Gotcha. Well, on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I love shows like this when I get to learn from the guest as much as my listeners do. I feel just empowered now that I'm on the right track, and you're my hero. I want my office to function like your surgery center, and I want to spread the word to all my colleagues who are out there. Because I want to be free. I don't want somebody to tell me what to do. I love what I do, just like you do. And we're in one of the, I don't know what they're treating now. The doctors now have a different mindset. It's all about collectivism and being part of a team and everybody, you know, working for the benefit of the hospital. I don't work like that. I work for my patient. I work for the love of what I do and the Hippocratic Oath. And this is the means, the tools to free yourself from this bondage. It's awesome. And the more patients that know about this, it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy. You build it, they'll come. And the more they come, the more people want to build. That's how I see it. Am I on the right track?
I think so. You know, typically the demand in any marketplace precedes the supply, and some savvy entrepreneur has their finger on the pulse, and they figure out ahead of everybody else, you know, what consumers really need, want, and desire.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a little bit different in that some physicians, myself included, were so disgruntled. We actually created a supply, not knowing if there was a demand at all, knowing that there should be a demand, and that maybe after we did make ourselves known, kind of the you will build it, that, you know, people would follow. And that's exactly what's happened. And because of the well-publicized success of our model and the results and the smiles on every surgeon's face that works here and every employee that works here, more and more people are drawn to this light and are in walking away and abandoning the old ways and dealing with patients honestly and directly.
That's the basis for a doctor-patient relationship. It's honesty, it's trust, and it's the ability to be the advocate without hindrance or complication. I think
one of my ear, nose, and throat partners makes it very clear. that it's his duty not just to provide the best care for his patients, but also to render a situation, to the extent that it's under his power, to minimize the chance of their being financially devastated.
Exactly.
So the financial well-being of patients is largely under the physician's control, whether we want to assume that position or acknowledge that fact at all. But it is absolutely true. So that's one thing that we talk about in our partnership, is that it's not just the patient's health and well-being that is one of our concerns, but also their financial well-being.
That's part of the total package, frankly. You know, major stressors of folks is that they're going to be bankrupted, and they're afraid of that, and they don't get help because they've been taught, or they've had this mindset that if I go into the hospital system coming out without a pants, top, you know, house or whatever else. Now,
right.
You're talking about the surgeons, right? So what happens if somebody comes to their office and sees them for a non-surgical issue? Are these also direct or cash-only practices straight through?
Yes, many of them are, and some of the surgeons have distinct and separate websites from ours here at the surgery center, where they actually provide their office procedure pricing for all to see up front. So I think we're going to see more and more of that.
That's really neat. That's a great idea. Because I think surgeons are direct primary care has been it's in the forefront because everything is mostly in the office and they can control everything. And most doctors, especially surgeons, don't really think that they can do that because of equipment, because they have to use the hospital setting, et cetera. But the fact that if you have something like Surgery Center of Oklahoma in your community, and you can use that facility and actually transfer the savings of the pricing into that, it allows surgeons to be just as active in the cash-only practice as the primary care doctors. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That is absolutely true.
Well, this is it's a revelation. I think everybody, every independent doctor out there needs to go to, the Free Market Medicine? Was that the
Free
website?
Free Market Medical Association.
Free Market Medical Association.
Yes. The website actually, I think, is back up tomorrow.
Okay.
It might actually be back today, but we were going to put it down for a day or two to just do some maintenance on it.
Okay.
But they have a Facebook page, too, if people want to look there.
Do they by any chance have a listing, or do you know of a website that people can go to? I know you mentioned Pennsylvania, you mentioned UCLA, I know of yours. Is there a website that people can find other cash-based surgery centers around the country, so that might be near them or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, and that is the one, that's the entire purpose, really, of the Free Market Medical Association.
Okay.
And that website's marketmedicine.org.
Okay.
And that's a place people can go if they live in Oregon or Maine or wherever they live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a place that is near me that may or may not provide the service that I want. But, yeah, that is not only are the facilities and physicians, I think, listed on that site, but the prices are, too.
And does that include offices as well as surgery centers?
If the physicians have taken the time to upload their office pricing, it will be there.
Okay. That's great. How does a physician join? Because I'm interested in doing something like this.
It's the email to contact for joining is on that website.
Okay.
And the other, the email, if the website is not down and someone wants to look at it today, I think is mfriedman, at fmma.org.
Excellent. Okay, Keith, I really, really thank you for coming on and joining me today. I mean, I don't know what to say except you've given me hope, even more hope, and hopefully my listeners will take the ball back, you know, take your power back. There's another way around the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, with this mandate, are you still seeing folks, well, I know people have insurance as well. What's the percentage of people who have insurance high deductibles, if you can tell me, versus ones that are totally uncovered that come to your facility? Who's the majority?
Well, the fastest growing group of patients we have are these patients that have these ridiculous Obamacare cards because their deductibles are higher than the prices we have online. And so their out-of-pocket experience here is better if they don't use that so-called benefit. But we see probably, oh, I'd say 5% of the patients that come through here have insurance with high deductibles. That's probably the right number.
Okay.
You know, this is a really good news message. You know, it's just like any other thing that happens with the free market. You know, it's about mutually beneficial exchange, and all parties are satisfied and happy with the arrangement. There's no coercion. I think that old statement, you know, the state is that entity whose ideas are so wonderful they have to be mandatory. And that's part of the good news of what we've done is it takes that coercive component out of healthcare delivery and payment. And it is fun. This has been a really fun and exciting ride, and I feel personally, frankly, vindicated watching all the people in the United States following this model.
Well, you should, actually. I know I just want to ask one question aside about the ERISA plans and the small businesses. Are you finding that they're contracting you for their employees? Because to me, that would be the ultimate way to save money, just like they do direct contracting with primary care practices. Is that a market that, if you're starting up, you should try to get, you know, to your facility?
Oh, yeah. The largest part of the business that we have that comes through our web portal is from self-funded employers and ERISA plans. That's the biggest part of the business that we have here. And that's because these employers have rejected insurance as everyone else knows it, and they just pay for their employees' health care out of operating revenue. So they have the sticker shock, they're motivated shoppers, and we have over 300 contracts with self-funded businesses. So they're very interested. I've talked to national trade associations that are full of ERISA plan administrators. So everybody in the country knows that this, you know, what we're doing, and that it's, you know, it's growing all over the United States. It's possible. You know, the hospitals that are saying it's not possible are only saying that because it frightens them. If somebody's interested in going down this road, they should definitely keep the self-insured clientele in mind.
Well, what's the best, and I actually, for myself as well, what's the best way to contact you? Because I want to get, you know, pick your brain a little bit how I could try to move down that path. What's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is my email address, which is plastered all over our website at surgerycenterok.com. And I get emails all the time from physicians and facility administrators with basic questions and also more advanced questions. You know, they've already kind of gone down this road and they're anticipating some issue or problem that has to be addressed. They can't think around and wondering if we've dealt with it already. So my email address is on the website and easy to find.
Well, again, Keith, thank you for your time and for your pioneering efforts, and I'm right behind you.
Well, thanks for having me on the show again. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.